good to be saved.
Amen.
Well, you know, as a third speaker tonight, I'm reminded of some good advice from my pastor, Brother Lindell. Kiss it. Right? I think it goes, keep it simple, sunny, right? Who said stupid? It was funny, last week I was preaching at Brother Mike's church in Florida, and he has a member there, and he sits right in the front. And that day he shows up, and I'm preaching, and he has this shirt that says, "I see dumb people." I'm thinking, man, talk about keeping the preacher a little humble. I told him you ought to wear that every Sunday. Numbers, chapter 32. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for another day you've given us, Lord. I thank you for Norman's message, Lord, today, and Lord, for the excitement, Lord, that we have, that all of us have, that are saved, Lord, that one day we'll be with you in glory, Lord. Until that day, I just ask you to continue to use this church, use us, use the missionaries, Lord. Call out more people, Lord. Call out of this church, Lord, to do your work. And also, thank you for Brother Mike, Lord, and all the years he's been down in Mexico. Lord, how you've taken care of him. Lord, I just thank you for him. I think about also Don Dalros, Lord, as he'll be going out to Afghanistan. Father, I just ask you just to protect him. Lord, and I think of Brother Steve as well, Lord. Lord, you just work things out for him, Father. I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Numbers chapter 32. Read a few verses. Now, forgive me, I'm going to read a few verses. At least I had planned to read a whole lot of this chapter, but, you know, kiss it, right? But I'm going to read the first six verses, and they got some funny names in here, so I might just read over them really fast, and I'll leave the pronunciation to you scholars, right? It says, "Now the children of Reuben and the children of Gad had a very great multitude of cattle. And when they saw the land of Jazer and the land of Gilead, that behold, the place was a place for cattle, the children of Gad and the children of Reuben came and spake unto Moses and to Eleazar the priest, and unto the princess of the congregation, saying, Ataroth and Dibon and Jazer and Nimrah and Heshbon and Eliali and Shebam and Nebu and beyond, says, even the country which the Lord smote before the congregation of Israel is a land for cattle, and thy servants have cattle. Wherefore said they, if we have found grace in thy sight, let this land be given unto thy servants for possession, and bring us not over Jordan. And Moses said unto the children of Gad and the children of Reuben, shall your brethren go to war, and shall you sit here?" And then from verse 6 to verse 16, Moses is given the argument of you know, they're just not thinking straight. What God wants us to go over Jordan, and you want to sit here while your brethren go over there and take care of what God wants to get done. And then we see that they have a change of heart, and then jump to verse 23. After they have a change of heart and they say, okay, we're going to go do it, but we don't want our inheritance over there. We want it on this side. And after it gets done, then we're going to come back and have our land. And then he says, okay, that's all right. And he says in 23, but if you will not do so, behold, you have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out. You know, I've heard, and we've heard messages on that verse on 23, and talking about all kinds of sin, Right? And it is true, right? Your sin shall find you out. You know? But my Bible also says over there in Timothy that sometimes some sins of men, they don't get judged in this world. You know, sometimes you see sinners and you see they're getting away and just openly living just horribly, and even some Christians living just bad. And you say, God, the minute I step out, boom, you're right there to call me back. And look at these guys, look how they're living. Even people who say they're Christians and believers, and look at what they're doing. And you don't do anything to them. Well, you know what? That verse that we just read still holds true. It doesn't matter. One day, your sin will find you out. It could be in this life, or it can be in the next. But you know, it's not talking about here fornication. It's not talking about drunkenness. It's not talking about any of this. He tells them this because the problem was the children of Reuben and Gad, they wanted to stay there while their brethren crossed and fought and went over Jordan. And he comes and he tells them, be careful. Your sin will find you out if you don't do it. And you know, I started thinking about it. The thought that came in my head is, it's not good enough. You know, if we just want to be good, I'm all for stuff, you know, how do I put this? Being good enough. You know, whenever I do something, I don't do things like Bill does things. You know, when Bill does things, he wants to do it just right. You know, do you know people like that? I mean, it has to cut out just right. It can't be just be a little crooked. You know, I mean, if I want to build something, I'm not going to invite Mike or I'm not going to invite Michael to help me build like a closet or something, right? Because because they'll probably let me do it and they'll be observing me and then they'll be yelling at me because things are a little crooked and I'm happy with it. As long as it stands up, you know, as long as it looks halfway decent, as long as it's usable, it's good enough for me. You know, there at my house, I have a gate, okay, and it was coming apart a few years ago, and I did some welding, and that welding looks pretty bad, but it's good enough, you know, and so I painted a little bit, and my gate is brown and blue, and it's been that way, and it's probably going to be that way until I move out. You know, my daughter says, you know, Dad, you're finally going to paint the house and fix the house up when we leave, because I like to leave my houses that I rent in better condition, right? I don't want anybody, or I don't want the landlady to say, these Christians, because I do witness to her, these Christians left me a horrible house. No, I want to leave them a good house. While I'm living there, as long as it works, it's good enough. You know? I mean, and I think that's a mentality. Sometimes that's a mistake when we think about God's work. It's not good enough just to be good enough. You know what I'm talking about? We have to do what God called us to do and be 100% involved in what God has called us to do and do a good job. If we're mediocre, I don't think we should be happy with it. There's a lot of things that is just good enough. You know? Like, I don't mind. Look, I'm not the kind of person who needs to have a gourmet pizza. You know? I'm happy with a 99-cent Totino's pizza from HEB. I don't have a problem with that. You know? A lot of people say, no, I don't eat that junk. I want so-and-so from the best Italian restaurant in San Antonio. You know what? Totino's is good enough for me. You know? My wife was eating the other night, after we got home, some cereal. What was that stuff called? Yeah, I wrote it down. Hold on. Golden Puffs. It's a knockoff for Golden Crisp. You know? But it looks just like Golden Crisp. And you know, and it said they're 50% more than Golden Crisp or whatever is their big thing. And I said, does that taste like Golden? I don't like cereal. I don't know why people would eat cereal, but I just don't like it. I'd rather eat something better, barbacoa, tacos de borrego. That's breakfast, not cereal. But is that? She says, it's all right. It's good enough. Well, praise the Lord. It's good enough. You know, there's things that we buy like Dr. Thunder. It's good enough. You know, I mean, I like Dr. Pepper, but I'm not going to turn my nose up at Dr. Thunder. And say, if I go to somebody's house and they give me Dr. Thunder, I'm going to drink it. Although, if they give me a choice, I'll pick Dr. Pepper. There's some things that's just good enough. It's just good enough. But you know, when we talk about God's work, it ain't good enough. Just to be good enough. I saw some things here. I don't know why I'm so nervous. Kiss it. Okay. As I thought about the children of Reuben and Gad, and how they obviously have this attitude, it's just good enough. You know, we've come this far. We have this land. We have a lot of cattle. You know, why do we have to go across? You guys go across. You got plenty of help. You know, it wasn't like, you know, just a couple people were going across. There's lots of people going across. Why did we have to go across? We just stay there. It's good enough. You know, I started thinking about that whenever we have this mentality of being good enough, it's because we don't want to be 100% yielded to God. When you try to quench that in yourself, and I think God has put that in us. You know, I think if we have the Spirit of God in us, I think God has equipped us to do everything and everything of His work and accomplish it. I don't think God put verses like, go ye into all the world if we couldn't do it. You know, God's not going to tell us to do something that we're not capable of doing. Even in the middle of crisis, even in the middle of problems in our economy, who cares? We still got a job to do. You know, we can't wait and say, you know what, right now maybe we just need to relax a little bit. You know, why be 100% involved in missions right now when who knows if we're going to have a paycheck next week? But you know what, I think you just ought to leave that in God's hands. Yeah. And we'll just keep going forward. You know, and I also thought about that these people, thinking it's just good enough just to be right here, they were focused on what they could see. You know, they had cattle, and they had a lot of cattle. And they saw some land, and they said, this is good land for our cattle. Well, you know what? Mike talked about some churches that he's been involved in. I bet you if every one of our missionaries is stand up and just give you a little bit of insight of what God has done in Mexico and in Poland, we'd sit around and go, wow, I can't believe it. You know, when we go, Steve said it, you know, about the men's meeting in Salamanca we just had. Lots of churches there, lots of brothers there, all there, united under one name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Man, and we say, well, this is good enough, isn't it? I mean, this is good. We've done a good job. It ain't good enough. You know how I know it isn't good enough? Because we're still here. You know, another thing I thought about was the fighting. You know, if they stayed behind, well, the fighting was on the other side. They had to go take that land. They had to go, and God already promised that place to them. God said, you can go, and this land is something I promised you, and it's just there for the taking. But you know, that's exactly how I feel about Mexico, about Poland, about whatever other country God calls us to do, and to preach, and to win. We can do it. But if we have this mentality of, it's good enough. I mean, there's other churches, you know? David Robinson has a nice church there on I-10.
You know, and for sure, those guys got money. Let them do something. You know, God, why don't you call them? Why don't you call missionaries from David Robinson's church? Well, praise God. I hope he does call missionaries from David Robinson's church. But I want God to call people from this church, too. I mean, we can get so bitter about things, too. You know, and say, it's good enough. This is it. This is good enough. And it's not good enough. It's not good enough to think it's good enough. Our Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross, and he suffered for you and I.
Amen.
It wasn't good enough that he just came. It wasn't good enough that he just lived a while here. It wasn't good enough that he just healed people. No. He went and he shed his blood for you and I.
Amen.
We have this little mentality. And then the thing that's interesting to me also is when he's talking to him and he's like telling him, look, I think when these tribes came, when these children of Reuben and Gad came, they said, I think God has given us this inheritance. This is our spot. You know, God has given us this land because we got lots of cattle. Like almost trying to persuade them, you know? Say, look, I mean, come on. I mean, this is logical, isn't it? I mean, we have lots of cattle. The other guys don't. You know? We can stay behind. But let me tell you, maybe you've been convincing or possibly this thought also comes into your mind. And you try to convince yourself, I've already preached a lot this week. I've already given a lot this year. You know? And I'm telling you, I'm just like Mike, and I think every single missionary out of this church is so thankful for each and every one of you who support us. And we offer you absolutely nothing. I mean, we come here for the mission conference, and even when we're here, we're taken from you. I mean, we're here. Seriously, that's what we're doing, right? We come, we preach, and you guys feed us. And you feed us good. Better than good enough. But you know what? You know why you do it? For the Lord Jesus Christ. This is why you do it. And I think we ought to have, you know what kind of spirit we ought to have? We ought to have a spirit like Caleb. You know? I love reading that part over there in Joshua in chapter 14 when he's saying, man, you remember, Joshua, you remember what God said. He's already an old man. He said, you know what? Even though these 45 years have passed, even though I'm, the promise of God has gone just prolonged, he said, I still feel like a young man. I can go out and I can fight. Just say the word and I'll just go. I want that mountain. That's what I want. You know what? As an old man, as a servant of God, faithful. You know why God gave us that land? You know why God gave Caleb and Joshua that promised land? Because the Bible says they were wholly given to God. Their whole selves. They believed God. What happened? The people, when they went out as spies, and they came back, and these guys said, man, you should check out this land. It's just awesome. Let's take it. And the other guy said, no, these guys are big. You know, this is too much work. We're going to get killed. And they didn't do it. They discouraged the people. You know, there's two things pretty much done. There's two things that I think, if we look at these people and look at these verses, in verse 7, after Moses, he says, the children of Gad and Reuben, shall your brethren go to war, and shall you sit here? And he says in 7, wherefore discourage ye the heart of the children of Israel from going over into the land which the Lord had given them. You know, there's two things. There might be somebody here, there might be quite a few of us here, who think and have this spirit of, we've done a good enough job. And good enough is good enough. That's probably how we're thinking. But you know what? I think we need to repent of that. You know, every time this mission conference, and I know every time we have mission conferences, we come, and you know what we tell you to do? Do more. Isn't that incredible? And you guys still come back. But every single night of this week, somebody's going to be telling you, not only thanks for what you've done, but it ain't good enough.
Amen.
It ain't good enough. Good enough isn't good enough. But you know what? And there could be some people here, and I know that in every church, in our churches in Mexico, we got people who just don't do anything, or they do the bare minimum. They're like me with my gait. You know, half brown and half blue. And it looks pretty ugly, but it works. I get in and out. Well, you know, there's a lot of Christians that way. Just good enough. You know? But if you're going to be that way, if you're just going to be good, look, believe me, I love having people to preach to. Love it. You know? It'd be a shame to just be preaching a bunch of chairs. You know? Just come on and show up, and maybe God will revive you. You know? Maybe God would just like Moses here, convince these people. They said, you know what? Okay, we're sorry. We're going to go. We're going to go and help out. We're going to go and fight. Man, I don't know if they had a bad attitude about it. I don't know if they just, you know, were upset about the whole thing. But he convinced them. He said, okay, I'm going to do it. And you can do it and have a great attitude, or you can do it and be upset about it. But either way, God's going to get the last word. But there's one thing, well actually there's two things, but the first thing that you can't do, you cannot do it in this church, is discourage other people. You can't do it. It's, if somebody, Josh, do you still have plans to go to Israel? You can't discourage him. You know what I think whenever I hear Israel, I'm thinking, oh man, there's bombs there. You know? These people walk around with backpacks there. You know? And then, how's he going to afford to live there? You know? These brothers in Poland paying $9 a gallon for gasoline? Forget the car, man. Get a donkey. But you know, we can't discourage them. Praise God for somebody. You know what, Steve? You ought to give thanks to God that you have parents that when you said, I want to be a missionary, they said, praise the Lord. You know, that's just great. I know some people who said, please, don't talk to my son about preaching. Please don't. I don't want him out there in harm's way. And I understand that. But you're discouraging people. And that's exactly what he said. What is your problem, people? You're discouraging these folks who are going across and getting what God has given them. And we can't do that. You know? And you know what I'm talking about. And maybe I've done it. And Josh, if I told you anything like that, I'm sorry. Have I ever told you anything like that? Good. But I admit, when I heard that, those thoughts did come in my head. You know? You know what? God, He probably has a lot more for us to do in this church. You know? And what if God calls somebody this week, somebody else, another young, dumb person, right? Stands up, I want to be a missionary. You know, they haven't really thought the thing through. They just said, God's calling me, I want to do it. And you say, man, how is it going to work out? Well, that's not up to you. You know? You know what? Things just might look like they're going to fail. You were talking, Brother Lindell, today about playing golf. And the first time you played golf was when you were in your 40s. Right? Somebody invited you out. And it was right after a bunch of people left the church. He had nobody. Well, he had somebody, right? A few people here. But a lot of people walked out. You talk about, I bet you that thought must have crossed your head. This thing's going to fall. This is it, man. It's over. But you know, that's not up to you. God can raise the dead. God can raise a dead church. You know, God can do things that you and I, we can't even imagine. But you know what we just got to do? Give ourselves wholly. The things God can do is, as a church, we can just come to this realization and say, you know what, Lord, I don't want to discourage anybody. I don't want to discourage my pastors. I don't want to discourage my brethren. I don't want to discourage these young people from serving you. I don't want to discourage my missionaries. I want to thank them. I want to talk to them. And thank you for having a place I can come to and I feel at home with every one of you. It's good. I look forward to the mission conference. I really do. You know? But we shouldn't be discouragers. Another thing, if you're just happy with being good enough, then you shouldn't get in the way of participating. You have to participate. You don't have to like it. You really don't have to like it. You know, Moses wasn't forcing them, or Moses didn't say, hey, you know what? You got to like it. You got to have a good attitude. You got to go across that river, and you got to help us, and you better be smiling when you're poking those people with your swords. No! He said, don't, you discourage them. What's your problem? You can't sit here. You're discouraging them. You got to go. You got to do it. Why? Because God, and they knew it too. They knew it. It said, I pray. They even said, I pray thee. Don't let us cross over there. They knew where they had to go. They knew what they had to do. But they didn't want to do it. Well, let me tell you, you have to participate. You're part of this church. God saved you. God put you in this assembly. God put you under these pastors that I dearly love and I dearly admire. And you got to serve Christ. You're thinking, well, maybe I can jump around other churches. No, that ain't the answer. You got to give yourself to God. You can't discourage anybody, and you can't not participate. Good enough isn't good enough. Amen?